Okay, ladies, Avodah Zarah Daf Vav has the famous question as to whether the Isser of doing business with the non-Jews 3 days before the festival, is it because of Harvacha or is it because of Lefnei Iver? And we had a brief discussion about what is meant by Harvacha. So there's a few possibilities that we brought up as to what Harvacha means. What are some of the possibilities? Rashi says Azal Moda, right? Rashi comments that Harvacha means that the non-Jew is going to thank his deity, Baruch Hashem, like this groom, young woman, is doing business with me right before my festival. I'm so happy. I'm going to church and I'm going to thank the God. That's the way Rashi says. Other Rishonim have different approaches to Harvacha. Liat?
Rabbeinu Tam says it's like a hit or mitzvah.
Again?
Rabbeinu Tam
says that Harvacha is like hit or mitzvah. So because the non-Jew will have many animals, he'll or she'll be makriv, the best animal. And another possibility was?
Just bring more
karbanos, which is predicated on the fact that doing more of an aveira that you would do anyway is not technically lefnei iver, right? But it is harvacha, which is something akin, similar to lefnei iver, and not the real thing, right? That's basically what we had. So comes along the Taz, and the Taz in Kuf Mem Chesif Katan Gimel raises a strong question on Rashi. He says, my dear beloved Rashi, you're telling me that there's an Isser of Harvacha, because when the Jew does business with the non-Jew before the festival, the non-Jew is going to go into church and thank the idol, and therefore the Jew will be in violation of Lo Yishama Al Picha, which for Rashi is an Isser Do'iraisa. So the Taz asks, one second, but Lecha Ora, it's really Lifnei Iver also, no? Because what I'm doing is I'm doing business with this non-Jew. Because I'm doing business with the non-Jew, so the non-Jew is going to thank his or her deity. So I'm responsible for them doing it. So Lecha Ora, that is Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mishol. So the Taz is asking, both according to approach one and according to approach two, it's Lifnei Iver, what is the difference? No? That's the Taz's question. Now, we could have answered, which we didn't. No one in Judaism, to the best of my knowledge, says that. But we says this, but we could have said as follows. We could have said that approach one in the Gemara is saying that it's both Lifnei Iver and Azal Moda. And approach two in the Gemara is saying it's only Lifnei Iver. Right? We could have explained that the question of the Gemara of Mishum Harvacha is it also Harvacha? O Dilma Mishum Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Mishol, meaning is it only Lifnei Iver?
Why would it not be Azal Moda?
Why would it not be Azal Moda?
I mean, like, what's their reasoning for saying it's both versus knowing that one
is? So why would anyone assume that it's not Azal Moda, right? That's your question. So that's a very strong question. Apparently, there might not be Azal Moda because maybe the Isser of Lo Yishama Al Picha does not mean that a goy should not say the name of the Avodah Zarah. Maybe Lo Yishama Al Picha means a Jew should not, right? It could be that there's a machlokas about how I translate the pasuk. And approach two in the Gemara is saying that Lo Yishama Al Picha does not mean that I should not be responsible for a goy mentioning the Avodah Zarah. Right? I mean, or you're asking a very strong question. Why would it not be Lo Yishama Al Picha? So we're suggesting maybe that's the pshat. But why, according to approach one, is it not Lifnei Iver? By the way, you get an impression from the Gemara that the reason I'm wrong, my suggestion that approach one in the Gemara is that it's both Lifnei Iver and Lo Yishama. The reason why you're wrong is because the Gemara says the nafgamina is Islei Behema L'Didei. Right? That means that there's no Lifnei Iver in that case, but there would be
thanking.
What? There would be thanking the God. Now, Lecha Ora, if it sounds like according to approach two in the Gemara, there's no problem, but according to approach one, there is a problem. It could still be read in the Gemara, but you get the impression from the Gemara that the Gemara is assuming that approach one is not working with Lifnei Iver at all. You just get that impression from the way the Gemara sets it up. It's not absolute. I could have kvetched it in, but okay. Hi, Shani.
This might not be a good question, but what's the difference between bringing actual carbon and taking their god in terms of just making their god? Like, in terms of, like, I guess you can equate it to, like, tefillah and bringing the carbon. They're both thanking God and whatever,
right, so,
like, sacrificing to God, I guess. So why wouldn't it be both? Even if, like, if they're going to bring it as a carbon or not. Like, if they're going to bring it as a carbon, then they're thanking their god. But if they're not bringing it as a carbon, but they're still going to thank their god for it, why isn't that still a rosar?
Is thanking the god actual avodah zarah?
Yeah.
So again, you know, the difference might be in terms of the iser of avodah zarah, there is a hierarchy. There are four actions of avodah zarah for which it's yehari val yavar completely, and if a Jew does it, the Jew gets killed. No? Zibuach, Kitor, Nisuch, and Hishtach Havoya. If you slaughter an animal to avodah zarah, you offer incense to avodah zarah. Zibuach, Kitor, Nisuch is that you pour wine to avodah zarah, and Hishtach Havoya is you bow down to avodah zarah. Those are the four things that a Jew would get killed for. Other actions of avodah zarah are not permitted. You should not try them in your own house. But you would not get killed if you do it. It would be like there are lower levels with every Isur Da'iraisa in the Torah, or, I don't know every, but with many Isurim in the Torah, right, the Isur of Arayus, the real Isur is Arayus, right? Chibuk and Nishuk is an Isur within the boundaries of Arayus, but it's not the full-fledged Isur of Arayus, right? So the same idea... The same idea over here as well.
And it wouldn't be changed for today because today, like we only have to be not carbon out, so it's still the same.
Apparently, it's not changed for today, correct? First of all, the goyim still have carbonos of some sort. Just come to Washington Heights and see how often they are slaughtering chickens to various deities. But Bekitzer, the Taz, asks a question that how come it's not lifnei iver when you cause the goy to thank the avodah zarah. So the Taz has two answers. Right? Does anyone remember what the answers of the Taz are? Okay. Silence. Crickets. So answer one that the Taz quotes is a Taz quote from his father-in-law, the Bach, that the Bach answered that being moda to avodah zarah, thanking the avodah zarah, is the same as gifuf and nishuk. De ein ha'oved kochavim muzhar alav, kevan shegam Yisrael eno chayiv misa alav. Says the Bach that if the goy thanks the avodah zarah, that's the same as kissing or hugging the avodah zarah, which goyim are not forbidden to do. The rule in Masechet Sanhedrin is that anything that for a Jew you're chayiv misa, for a goy it's asar. If the Jew is not chayiv misa, so it's not asar for the goy. Hugging avodah zarah, kissing avodah zarah is not a chayiv misa. Remember,
is it just in terms of avodah zarah, that's the synergy.
Yes, this is a halacha, a limited halacha within avodah zarah. It's avodah zarah daf samach. Right, there's a special halacha that kosher Yisrael, chayiv misa alav, nachri muzhar alav. If the Jew is going to be chayiv misa, the goy is usher. And therefore, says the Bach, thanking the idol, or what you call davening, but it's not really davening, right? Within tefillah, we had... It's like part three of Shemona Esrei, right? Shevach Bakosha, Hoda'ah. It's the Hoda'ah part of davening, Lahavdol. But, says the Bach, Goyim are not usher to thank their Avodah Zarah. Comes along the Taz, right? Because since a Jew, if a Jew thanks an Avodah Zarah, does the Jew get killed? No. Since the Jew doesn't get killed, it's mutter for Goyim. That's what the Bach answers. You seem in disbelief.
You're just not allowed to cause them to do something that's not even
asur.
Like, why then are you, why is that
asur? So, lo yishama al picha apparently means that I cannot cause them to mention the name of Avodah Zarah in an usher sort of way for them. But if they are mentioning the name of Avodah Zarah in a mutter sort of way for them, then it's okay.
How do they mention Avodah Zarah in an usher way if being usher for them means it has to be mentioned?
Okay, I think I lost you. In other words, there can be Isurim which are not actions. I might not get Malkus for it, or a guy might not be put to death for it, but it could be also, even though it's not an action.
But we just said that the only things that the that Goyim are used for are things that
a Jew would be killed for.
Which are those four things?
All actions.
All actions, but then mentioning the name.
Mentioning the name of Avodah Zarah is not usur for Goyim. I, Rashi says. So apparently, Lo Yishama Al Picha is an Isser for me, not an Isser for the guy at all. I'm using the guy to do something. I can't do it. Right? And the guy is now my agent or my. I think this just emerges.
Isn't that special Lo Yishama Al Picha? Because the guy is kind of like your agent and think. It's like as though you think they have what
is that? I think so. I think that's the way, according to the Bach, the Pshat in Rashi is that when the Jew causes the Goy to thank the Avodah Zarah, the Jew is doing an Isser of Lo Yishama. The Goy does not get an Isser. And because the Goy does not get an Isser, it's not Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is those activities which the Goy cannot do. Over here, I can't do it. I'm not allowed to throw three Hail Marys or whatever they are, but the guy's allowed to. Right? Again, we're just learning the Taz quoting the Bach. Actually, you guys are helping me clarify it. Very good. So the Taz asks a question on the father-in-law. No, I always imagined that like the family was somewhat dysfunctional because the I don't know. The Taz like always argues with his father-in-law. So I imagine that like Shabbos meals must have been like really exciting. What were you talking about? No, that's like, hey, that's really what he's saying, right? Vitamati, the Taz asks, one second. Frek the Taz, a Jew is chayiv on Avodah Zarah because if a Jew says Eliyata, if a Jew looks at a stone and says, you are my God, the Jew is chayiv misa. You see, there are two dimensions to Avodah Zarah. There's Avodah Zarah in the sense of worshipping the action, worshipping the item, I should say. And then there's Avodah Zarah in the sense of deifying an item. Says the Taz that a Jew is chayif misa for thanking the idol, because by thanking the idol, that's tantamount to saying Eliyata. If I thank the idol, the only reason I'm thanking the idol is because I recognize that the idol has certain kochos, has power. Why else would I thank it?
But the
goy
is not
here. Well, the goy is an Avodah Zarah. The goy believes that there's power in this Eitz Va'Even. And when I, like the Taz is asking on the Bach, right, he says, one second, if the Jew is causing the guy to thank the idol, that is the same as saying Eliyata, which for the Jew would be Chayiv Misa. That's the Taz's question. Now, we're already getting to how we'd answer this Kasha, no? If you would be the Bach, what would you say? If you want the answer, you could look in the Nekudas HaKesef on the side of the Taz. And the Nekudas HaKesef, by the way, is written by the Shach. Hey, the story goes like this. The Shach is the coolest person ever, as we know. He lived 1621 to 1662. The Shach did not have smicha when he wanted to publish his sefer on Yerideya. One of the reasons the Shach did not have a smicha is because the Shach lived in Lithuania. There are no rabbis in Lithuania to give him smicha. So
he
Shach
died at 18 in Vilna.
What? He became dying at 18 in Vilna. Excellent notes. Good. So this Shach doesn't have smicha. So the Shach decides he has to go on a world tour in order to get smicha. So he travels to Poland carrying a book called the Shach. It probably looks something like this, like a big fat book. And the Shach is going through Poland, and he's trying to meet all the rabbis, and gets smicha, because in those days, you're not allowed to publish a sefer without smicha. That's the rule. In order to publish a sefer, you have to have smicha. So he wants to publish, he wants smicha. So the Shach goes to the Taz. And the Taz doesn't like the Shach's sefer. Now, there are different ways of saying this. The way Rav Soloveitchik said it, you could look in the book Nefesh HaRav, Rav Schechter quotes that the Rav said that the Taz recognized that the Shach's book on Yerideya is much better than the book that the Taz was trying to write at the same time on Yerideya. And the Taz says, I can't give this guy smicha. If I'm going to give this guy smicha, what's going to happen is they'll put me out of business. So the Taz decides to argue with every single thing that the Shach is saying. Right?
Yes.
So this is, I'll tell you the follow-up to this. Right now, we're just quoting the story of the way Rav Schechter quotes it from Rav Soloveitchik. In Nefesh HaRav, I forgot what page. Okay? But it's there. Oh. So the Taz does not want to give the Shach smicha. Now, the Shach begins to get angry at the Taz for this. So the Shach says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write notes on the Taz's book to prove that the Taz doesn't know how to learn. That's called the Nekudas HaKesef on the side of the page. You know what the Taz does? The Taz then says, well, one second. Dear Shach, you have these notes on my book. I don't like those notes. I'm going to write a Kuntres Acharon to argue with you. Then the Taz writes a Daf Acharon to argue with the Kuntres Acharon. And they go back and forth like three rounds. No?
I'm not sure if this is all
Shem Shemayim. So that's a great question. So the story goes like this. When Nefesh HaRav came out, so Rav Schechter publishes the Sefer, and Rav Meir Goldbrecht goes to Israel. Rav Meir Goldbrecht gives the Nefesh HaRav to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Because Rav Goldbrecht's father was the Gabbai in the Groshol. You know, in Shari Chesed, there's like the Groshol. So Rav Goldrich's father was the Gabbai in Rav Shlomo Zalman's minyan in the Groshol. Rav Goldrich had a very close relationship with Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach read through the whole Sefer that night. Okay, he was smart. And Rav Shlomo Zalman apparently went back to Rav Meir Goldrich and says, Torah Shechter, it's a wonderful book, but if he ever republishes the book, don't put that story in because it's not respectful to the Taz. It's a really, he's not saying it's not true. Right? But he's saying it's not respectful and you shouldn't put that story in. Well, the book has been republished with the same story. So I once asked Rav Schechter, he's like, I don't know. I have no idea what that means. But that's the basic answer to this. It is troubling. The story is troubling. So let's go back. Now we know who the Taz is, we know who the Shach is, right? The Nekudas HaKesef over here comments, Lo kasha midi de eli atashani shemekablo be'eloa. Right? The Nekudas HaKesef basically answers for the fact that yes, if a Jew says eli ata, the Jew is chayiv misa. Because eli ata means that you are accepting this item as your God. You are deifying the item. But if you thank an item, that's different than deifying it. Right? Effectively, what the Shach is answering for the Bach is that, yeah, of course, if you say Eliyata Yechayiv Misa, but just thanking, right, I would call that tacit acknowledgement of power, is not the same as deification. Apparently, the Taz is disagreeing, no? This, by the way, can have millions of nafgaminas lahalacha, Rachman Letzlan, if a Jew is asked at the threat of life, right, to pray to a getchka, to go and pray in church. The Jew is not deifying it, no? But the Jews ask just to thank the item for all the good stuff that happened. Is that really the full Isser? Again, we don't want to say this because traditionally Jews gave up their lives not to do these things, right? But one could argue that the only thing that's really usur in terms of being chayiv misa is, right? Zibuach kitor nisa chishtachavaya and eliyata. But thanking, right? What you said about prayer, no? Prayer in the afterthought, in the sense of the hoda'ah, that might not be chayiv misa. That seems to be a machlokas between the Bach versus the Taz. Whether it's chayiv misa if you pray to an idol. Good. So let's go on. So far we have the kasha. And the kasha is, how come if you cause the guy to thank his idol, how come that's not with ne'iver? So answer one is, goyim are not forbidden to thank their idols. That's what the Bach says. The Shach jumps up and down and spits wood and nickel and says, what are you talking about? It's the same as Eliyata. We defended the Bach. Great. But then the Taz, Lashitaso, has to answer this question in a different way. How come, right, it's not Lifnei Iver? So the Taz answers, ready? Rabotai, Virotai, sorry, ready? The Taz answers, that what? Zok the Taz, it's not Shriya Vredanahara, right? It's a Freudian slip, right? We have to edit the tape.
These are the issues in teaching women Gemara. Just give us the enough.
Didn't see that. I'm on record. Like, whatever. But the Taz answers that in order to be Lifnei Iver, it has to be Tri Ivri Denahara. Tri Ivri Denahara means that you enable the person to do the Avera. If the guy would want to go to church and would want to pray and would want to thank the idol, would the guy be able to do that on the guy's own?
Yes.
Of course, yes. So I'm not doing Lifnei Iver Do'iraisa here, right? I'm not doing Lifnei Iver Do'iraisa because all I'm doing is I am enabling, I'm not enabling, I am encouraging, right?
Putting some drops in the bucket.
I'm giving the guy an opportunity to do something that the guy could do anyway. And Zuck the Taz, this is not Trey Ivridinahara. Trey Ivridinahara means the guy could not do the Avera without me. Now, this is already touching on a very important issue. You see, the Taz is developing a yesod that it's only called Trey Avridinahara if the guy can't possibly, the Taz is reading the Gemara in a very limited sort of way. The Gemara says that's only Lifnei Iver by the cup of wine, because you can't get the wine without me. You can't get the wine without me. If you could get the wine without me, so then that's not Trey Avadinahara. The Chazon Ish. This is in Simen Samach Vav, Samach Beis, excuse me, Simen Samach Beis Os Tes Vav in the Chazon Ish. So, the Chazon Ish develops a theory that Lifnei Iver does not mean that you are goreim the yecholas, but Lifnei Iver means that you are goreim the avera. Question. Is Lifnei Iver that I give you the opportunity to do the Avera? You would not be the ability to do the Avera. I'm Gorim the Yecholas. I'm giving you the ability to do the Avera. Or is Lifnei Iver not that I'm giving you the ability to do the Avera, but I'm giving you the opportunity to do the Avera? Says the Chazon Ish. That Lifnei Iver means that even though you could do the Avera without me, but if you're not going to do the Avera without me, and I cause you to do an Avera, so I am in violation of Lifnei Iver. Causing an Avera even though you could have done the Avera on your own, is still Lifnei Iver. And the Chazon Ish proves this from the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Perek Ezechu Neshach. The Mishnah says, if I lend money to you with ribbis, no? And there is an Uri, there's a cosigner. Now you probably don't know this, you're not at the stage of life yet, but if you want a large loan, you need a cosigner, no? People won't lend you money unless there's somebody backing it up who you know can pay it back. Because let's be honest, I'm in chinuch, right? If you're in your right mind, you don't trust someone in chinuch that he or she is going to be able to pay back the loan. So you have a cosigner. Now, the malveh, in theory, the lender could violate the iser of ribbis on his or her own. I could decide to lend you money, $3 to give $4 back, without a cosigner. Right? There are some people who do that. But still, the cosigner is in violation of Lifnei Iver. Because, in reality, the cosigner is causing the loan to happen. Because people don't lend money without cosigners. Even though you could, but people don't. So comes along the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish develops a theory that if I cause you to do an Avera, in other words, you could have done it on your own, but you wouldn't have. I am the proximate cause of the Avera. I am goyrem the Avera. Says the Chazon Ish, that's Lifnei Iver. And the Chazon Ish loves this Yesod. And therefore the Chazon Ish says he thinks the Taz is wrong. Because in this case, yes, the guy could have gone into church on his or her own. And the guy could have thanked the deity. But the guy wouldn't have. The only reason why the guy is feeling happy is because I sold this item to him. No? So therefore I am in violation of Lifnei Iver. It's not a tremendous idea that the Chazon Ish develops, that Gorim and Avera is Lifnei Iver. Yes, Shani.
How naive can you be that they would go with or without you? Like, can you assume that they were going to go anyways and they're not going just for you? Or you have to...
Again, I think the assumption is you have to look at normal people, what normal people do in a normal situation. My guess is that most people on the regular... Again, maybe there's a difference between how devout the person is or not. You know, these are like details within the miskeret.
But are we supposed to find them out?
Not sure. I don't know. Oh. So now, what's interesting over here is the Chazon Ish is saying an idea that there's Lifnei Iver d'Oraisa, even though you could have done the Avera, but if I cause you to do the Avera, then I violate Lifnei Iver. You are still doing the Avera for you. What about the following case? I promised you that I'd discuss this. Are you allowed to invite a non-religious Jew to your house for a Shabbos meal? Is this Lifnei Iver? Well, how would we dissect this question?
Well, I thought you're supposed to like give them the option of keeping.
So most people say you give the option of, you know, sleep over. But let's be honest, right? Sleep over in my apartment in the Heights. Yeah, I'm giving you an option. You can sleep on my couch. Oh, thank you very much, Rabbi Schwartz. I'm very appreciative. Right? Most people like, is it permitted? So now, Shani asked before, right, are you allowed to sell clothing or to give clothing that doesn't have full tznius standards? Are you allowed to give that to other people? There are 9 million questions of Lifnei Iver, and these are some of the most important halacha lemaisa questions. Let's begin to analyze this now. Okay? In order to analyze the question, we now have the tools that are necessary. We have a Chazon Ish versus a Taz. We have a Shach and a Dago Merivava who argues on that Shach, no? In Kuf Nun Aleph Sifkatin Vav, in the Shach that we went through last time we learned, said that there's no dispute between Tosfos and Tosfos in Shabbos and Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. The Shach says that if we're talking about a goy or a Jew who's a mumar or a Jew who doesn't keep mitzvos properly, so then there is no iser of lifnei iver b'chad avad nahara. But if we are talking about a Jew who is a shomer mitzvos or a shomeres mitzvos, so then there would be lifnei iver b'chad avad nahara. Right? That's basically the Shach's answer. Now, within this Shach, right, we'll come back to non-sneis to clothing and Shabbos in a few minutes, but just to dissect the question, let's try to understand the Shach. A few problems. Problem one, the Dogo Merivava. By the way, who was the Dogo Merivava? Dogo Merivava is Rabbi Yechezkel Landau, who is the chief rabbi in Prague, who wrote the book called The Note of Yehuda. So he's super famous. The way Rav Schechter says it is that the Note of Yehuda is the rabbi in like the largest city at the time. So all the really exciting shilas come to the Note of Yehuda. If you want to know like good shilas about people having affairs one to the other and this and that, right? The Note of Yehuda had a famous shila that like there is a most shilas in the Note of Yehuda tell you who he's answering the question. There's one shila about the student of the Gadol Hador, apparently, in some community, and the student used to go over to the Rebbe's house every Shabbos for lunch, and after lunch, the student would sleep with the Rebbe's wife. And then the student, because he's the best student in yeshiva, marries the Rebbe's daughter. Then at some point, he's like learning Chumash, and he realizes, oh my gosh, that Lo Sinuf thing. Like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. And oh my gosh, this means that my mother-in-law is forbidden to my father-in-law. This is like a good one, no?
Only you learn
Chumash before you... Yeah, you're right. This is why it's important to learn Chumash. Right, absolutely. Like, so the question is, like, does he have to tell his father-in-law that he's not allowed to be married to his mother-in-law now? Woo! It's a good one, no?
Well, it's his own embarrassment, so...
His own embarrassment. Everyone's going to be embarrassed. This is going to be a disaster. So another Yehuda goes one way, the Divrei Chaim goes a different way. It was like a very exciting back and forth. But these are the types of shots another Yehuda got because he's the rabbi in the biggest city and stuff like this happens in big cities. Okay, whatever. Now, the Dogo Merivava is the Note of Yehuda. The Dogo Merivava asks on the Shach. He says, Shach, you're telling me that a mummer has the same halacha as a goy, that there is no din of lifnei iver b'chad avad nahara. By the way, word to the wise, poskim generally, when they speak about lifnei iver on one side of the river, poskim generally use the word misayeya yedei ofrei aveira. That's the term that's used. Right? The Messiah is not someone who is misayeya yedei ofrei aveira. Messiah is good. We hope Messiah will come very soon.
Amen.
Shkoach. Right? Now, and Frek the Dogo Merivava, he says, I don't understand. Mummer, a Jew who does Averis. We pass that Yisrael, Afo Pishachata, Yisrael who? A Jew who does Averis is still a Jew. So how come, Shach, when you are giving me two categories, you have one category, Goy and Mummer, the other category is regular Jew, but Mummer is a regular Jew. Now, I know why the Shach did it, because the Shach is trying to smooth out the Tosfos, and our Tosfos in Avodah Zarah is speaking out Mummers, no? By the way, if you look in the parallel in the Rush, not exactly so pashut that we're talking about Mummer at this point in Tosfos. But the way the Shach is just putting the Tosfos together, he says, oh, Mummer! So Dogo Merivava asks, Mummer, what are you talking about? A Mummer is a full-fledged Jew when it comes to doing Averos. Yisrael, Afal Pishachata, Yisrael who? That's the Dogo Merivava's question. Strong question. Based on this question, there is a large school in Poskim who reject the Shach, La Halacha. You see, the Shach's a tremendous kula, no? When I think about the Shach, The Shach is saying that if you're a non-religious Jew, there's no din of lefni iver b'charav or d'nahara. And what does non-religious mean? Non-religious means that you don't keep this mitzvah properly, no? So you're a shayla about non-sneistic clothing. Our question about the Shabbos invitation, what would the Shach answer?
What?
There's no lefnever. Why not? Because they could do that avera anyway. Right? But is it obvious, though?
No.
Let's analyze it a step further.
No.
What would the Chazon Ish say?
No, don't do it. They're still Jewish. They can't.
So the Dogomir Rav would say they're still Jewish. Right? That's why Dogomir Rav argues on the Shach.
You're still goring that
avera. I'm goring that avera. In other words, so I have... What's someone going to do? Let's be honest. If I invite a guest, right, for a Shabbos meal, a non-religious guest. So if I don't invite them, what are they going to be doing on Shabbos? They'll probably be staying at home watching TV. No, that's what people do on Friday nights. This, let's be honest, watching TV is probably not an Issa D'Oraisa. Driving is a real Issa D'Oraisa. No?
Is it?
So, yeah.
Even if you're sitting in the car and you're not the one...
Sitting in the car, probably not. But if you're actually driving, it's a real Issa D'Oraisa. Someone just asked me a Shiloh yesterday, no? That he and his wife are going to New Zealand. So New Zealand is like right in between the question of international dateline and halacha. So most poskim assume that you should keep Shabbos on Saturday. That's the minig in New Zealand. But on Sunday, you should not do da'iraisas. So I was going through this fellow, what are the da'iraisas that you could violate? So don't sign your name on the credit card bills. If you do a pin on your card, right, that's only drabanan. But if you sign your name, that's da'iraisa. Especially if you sign it on paper. Okay, don't sign your name. What are the other derisas that you could violate? It's hard. Driving is a real derisa. I told this guy, whatever, he and his wife told me that they want to go to the beach. Some beach like far away from where they are. And like on that Sunday, which is Shabbos, like, they're like, what, we can't drive? I'm like, oh, you could have a guy drive you.
They can't leave the tchum.
What? Can't leave the tchum of Yud Beis Mil as a derisa. Tchum of 2,000 Amos is not derisa. Tchum of Yud Beis Mil might be derisa. Maybe.
I have a friend in seminary, and instead of keeping a full, like, two-day yontiv on the second day, she only did Jewish or Doraisa, so she took buses, but like...
So there are people who do that. That's not so crazy.
She was like typing, not writing notes. And like,
that's a little weird, but not. I mean, I happen, when I'm in Israel, second day yontiv, I do the worst of all worlds. I do what they call 1 3/4 days, or 2 1/4 days, which is I wear a tefillin, davening, yontiv davening, and I don't do any malacha, even drabanans. My wife like was like, what, are you crazy? I'm like, yeah, this is what I do. She's like, what, are you crazy? You sure? Like, repeat that? I'm like, okay, I'm weird. But that's a different story. The reality is that according to the Chazon Ish, it's usher to invite someone because I'm goring the Avera. The Dogomir Vav would say it's usher because I'm causing somebody who's a mummer to do an Aveira on Shabbos, and a mummer is a full-fledged Jew.
Yeah.
Right? Many poskim don't like the Shach for that reason. They also don't like the Shach because of the Gemara in the Darim on Daf Samach Beis, no? The Darim Daf Samach Beis tells us a story about how Rav Acha... There were these people in the time of the Gemara called the Zoroastrians, no? The Zoroastrians basically were fire worshippers in Persian times. I think Dr. Elman is like very into Zoroastrianism. Not that he doesn't. He just knows a lot about it. Okay, I have to be careful with the way I say it. There was an article in the Times a few months ago that there's like only a handful of real Zoroastrians left. And, you know, they're very worried that, like, this whole Zoroastrian culture, which has been, like, a few thousand years in the making, it might die when these last Zoroastrians die. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. King Yovdu Kolei Vechashem. This is not Mishapel de Zara. We should, like, be really happy, like, when this last Zoroastrian... Not that we should go and kill them, right? Because in our world, we don't do that. But, Lamaisa...
Dance on their graves.
Huh?
We should dance on their graves.
Didn't say that either. don't put words in my mouth. So the Gemara in the Dorim Samach Beis tells a story. The Reb Acha has a forest that he wants to sell, and he decides to sell it to the Zoroastrians. So the Gemara asks, aren't you in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mishol? because you are causing them to do avodah zarah, right? When they light the forest, they're going to be worshiping it. So the Gemara answer is stam eitzim lahasukanit, no? That wood is most often used for ordinary fires, fires that warm people up, rather than fires that are used as an act of worship. That's what the Gemara says. So now, let's think about that Gemara for a second. Many Achrayim point out that Gemara in the Darim Samach Beis is against the Shach. Who wants to plug it in? How come this Gemara in the Darim is against the Shach? Dun 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 dun. So again, what does the Shach say? The Shach says that for non-Jews or for Mumrim, there's no Lifnei Iver B'chad Avodah Nahara. Presumably, could you buy wood elsewhere? You think the only wood that they could buy is from Rebbe Acha? So they could buy wood from somewhere else, no? Yet, the Gemara asks, it's Lifnei Iver. You see that there is an issue of lifnei iver b'chad avodah nahara for a goy. So that Gemara in the Darim, this is the Vilna Gaon, Elijah Kramer, 1720 to 1797, lived in Vilna. He was kind of smart. They called him the Vilna Gaon. So the Gra says that that Gemara in the Darim is a raya against the Shach.
But it sounds like the Shach is really just trying to like make their no machlokas. It doesn't sound like he's really like trying to make
Tosfos
in
there.
Say it better, or
it sounds like he's trying to say that there is no machlokas in the Tosfos. That's what his goal is. It doesn't necessarily say, but he says
lahalacha, halacha lemaisa. The Shach says that if you could get the avera somewhere else, so it's only lifnei iver b'chad avodah nahara. So there's zero prohibition for a goy. But the Gemara in the Darim says it is forbidden. So we have, I would say, one way to reject it already, and maybe two, maybe three ways to reject this proof from the Gemara in the Darim. This is why Torah becomes fun. Once you have the things to play with, okay? This is what we call lomdus. So it's geshmak. That's the official word, yeah.
It could be saying that they could get fire from elsewhere, but just that the probability of them using it for rosary is just very low because they will be using it for other things.
So the Gemara is saying that, but therefore you're like, you have to like tighten the screw a little bit more.
What daf is this Gemara?
What?
What daf is the Gemara?
Samach Beis Amid Beis, 62b. So one way of rejecting it, I think, is the Chazon Ish. I think Talia was almost there, but she didn't say it completely. Think about it. The Chazon Ish says, yes, if you could do the Avera, but you won't do the Avera. So I make you do the Avera. So then I buy like Lifnei Iver. So in theory, they could have bought wood from somewhere else, right? But because I sell them the wood, I cause them to do their Zoroastrian ceremony. Like Bein Nurin, the Gemara, Zoroastrians. So therefore, I'm in violation. That's one approach. I think according to the Chazon Ish, we could get out of the Raya. Alternatively, the way the Gemara says it in the Darm Samach Beis is that Rav Acha is selling a forest. One could argue, I'm not an expert on selling wood, but my guess is that, like, to buy a few logs, that you could do. You want to buy an entire forest. What? This is before your time. It was a movie about Salo Shabbati, who...
Yeah, I've seen it. In favorite class in high school.
Okay, excellent. Right, so the Salo Shabbati movie. It's not so easy to buy a forest. You know, you have to, like... That's impressive. That's a plus a quarter on the final.
What? That's a lot.
That's a part of a point. Don't complain. Not that much.
To know Salah Shabbat.
You really should be spending more time watching movies. That's what?
No, good favorite class.
I don't want to tell you the way I used to spend Thursday night Seder when I was in, whatever. Maybe when the tape is off. But, but one could argue that because it's a full forest, that's why there is Lifnei Iver, because you can't get a full forest easily. One could also argue a third approach, which would require a little more development. But if you read the Ramah, the two opinions in the Ramah here in Kufnun Aleph Se'if Aleph are, what is Lifnei Iver? Let's say you could buy the item somewhere else. But wherever you're going to buy the item, that person who gives it to you will violate Lifnei Iver. So it's a question, am I going to buy from A, B, or C? But if I get it from A would be in violation, B would be in violation. And so one could argue that in that situation, it is not a full-fledged Lifnei Iver on my behalf. And maybe that's part of the issue. Or alternative, I said it backwards. One could argue that the only way I could get it would involve someone violating Lifnei Iver, that means that any way I get it is the Isser of Lifnei Iver. But Yehei Mashi Yehei, many poskim reject the Shach because A, the Dogomer Vava has this question from Mummer. B, we reject the Shach because it seems to be against the Gemara in the Dorim on Daf Samach Beis that we mentioned beforehand. Yeah, okay. Liat.
Third answer that you just gave. So the Gemara is assuming that the only people who owned forests were Jews, and therefore, no matter who they would buy it from, somebody would be in violation of the
law. Well, remember, Goyim also have. That's a question. Whether Goyim have Lifnei Iver, but Goyim have an issue of Avodah Zarah. Any guy who would sell a forest to a Zoroastrian would be in violation of causing them to violate Avodah Zarah somehow.
But they don't have that
issue. So that's something that we'll talk about within Lifnei Delifnei. That's going to be the sugya on Daf Yudalid that we have to do next. But I spent too long presenting this, but basically, let's just spend two more minutes because people want to finish before 8. In terms of the, you see, this I mentioned that this Avni Nezer is a little messed up. The Avni Nezer is in Simen Kuf Tes and in Simen Kuf Chaf Vav. In this version of the Avni Nezer that the Beit Midrash has upstairs, it goes from Simen Sadi Zayin to Simen Shin. And then it goes back to Simen Kufraf Vav. It happens that the end of what I want to quote is mentioned. It's in Kufraf Vav Ostaled, but the beginning of that tshuva is not here. The Avni Nezer develops an idea as follows. He says that a mummer has two...
Can I close our door?
Yeah, please. A mummer has two different... You could close our door. It'd be the same thing, Shani. Huh? Close both. It's better. Okay. Yeah, sure. Actually, maybe we should do this Avni Nezer next time. Yeah, ask a question.
Oh, okay, sorry. Is the second answer where, selling a forest is different than buying two logs, and therefore the forest can't get a forest easily, would that really be more of an issue of, harvacha, as opposed to...
So, I'm not sure. I don't know Zoroastrianism, I don't know. It's entirely possible. My understanding of this answer is that in order for them to do their act of Avodah Zarah, they need a massive amount of wood. And they can't do the Avodah Zarah at all with less of the wood. That's the way I'm understanding it. They need a whole forest. Okay, for next time we learn, what we're going to do is we'll talk about the approach of the Binyan Sion, which is another approach to reconcile the Taisusin. Now, we're not learning Wednesday night, so we'll learn the Monday after. I'm also giving a shiur here on Monday night, the 27th.
That's on Thursday in Yom Yisrael.
What?
That's on Thursday in Yom Yisrael Woodmere.
Thursday in Yom Yisrael Woodmere, I'm giving a shiur, right?
That's not
sure. Good call. Yeah, I have to prepare for that. So, if people have suggestions of what I should talk about, I didn't respond to Rachel Cement yet. Like if you have topics that you're interested in me giving a shiur on, please email me, later tonight or something, and...
We'll do it. Okay, Trevor, have a good night. Most poskim do pass in lahalacha, like the approach of the Binyan Sion. The Binyan Sion's approach is also found in the tshuvos of, what's his name, the Meshev Dover, the Tziv, and his tshuvos in Simon Chaf Beis has the same approach. Are you allowed to be Masadar Kedushin for a couple who won't keep Taras HaMishpacha? Right? Now think about that from the perspective of the Shach and the Binyan Sion. And then, right, there are 9 million questions. Lifnei Iver is such an awesome sugya because most of the really hard shilas in Judaism are connected. Yeah, Shani.
My friend knows someone who says she's a quarter Jewish, but really her mother's Jewish and her mother's Jewish.
So she's
calls
fully Jewish.
Right.
I love
is it Lifnei Iver? She doesn't tell her that she's actually Jewish.
So that's another shilah. Can you violate Lifnei Iver passively? Look at Moed Kut and Daf Hei. We'll talk about that as well. There is a massive amount. I'm not sure how we'll be able to streamline Lifnei Iver. That's why I felt maybe reading the Minchas Chinuch to just highlight some issues is a good way, because I'm not sure if I want to spend the rest of the semester on Lifnei Iver or do more Gemara. I'm inclined to do more Gemara. So we might streamline it that way. Okay, Trevor, have a good evening.